This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
I'm going to kick off actually by just reading a little bit from the passage that David's been sharing with us over the last 3 weeks from Ephesians 4. And I'm going to be starting reading at verse 22, although I think 21 is going to come up on your screen as well, but I'm starting at verse 22. Let's get right stuck in. So, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for you are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, to stand. Stand firm then. Oops, wrong page. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We thank you for those words. Thank you, Lord, for your scripture, your truth. Have you ever noticed that Jesus never told us to try and become like him? In this passage we just read, we hear the echo of the vision that Jesus lays out for living in chapters 5 to 7 of Matthew. And like in Matthew, here we don't find try not to sin when you're angry or try not to let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. No, it says do not sin. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth and more. How do we do that? We're instructed to put off our old self, to be made new in the attitudes of our minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That suggests we can become like Jesus, that some effort is required on our part, but also work that has already been done, that we have had no role in, by the power of the Holy Spirit who has sealed us, it says, for the day of redemption. This morning, I have the joy of wrapping up our series on how to change and grow to become more like Jesus. I'm looking at being intentional about it. Follow Me has been our theme for this year, and you can find all the talks on our website. 3 years ago, David and I, along with our two sons, Joss and Sam, travelled to a family wedding in South Africa. In one of our conversations, I asked Josh if David and I had changed at all since they had left home. I absolutely knew what one of his answers would be. "Mum, you've become more anxious," he said. He was right, I had. I was trying really hard not to let worry and anxiety over fear of illness invade. I was trying hard to do not worry. You can see how well that was getting going for me. The challenging circumstances that triggered that anxiety during the 3 or 4 years running up to that conversation with Josh had exposed a rather less than Jesus-like character in me. And Josh's trusted truth speaking into my life was the wake-up call I needed to be intentional about change and following Jesus into his likeness with regard to anxiety and worry. Though inspired by Jesus' teaching not to worry, I was trying my way to become like him, and that wasn't going to get me there. Honestly, in my experience, it's destination defeat every time with that sort of trying. I'm sure you know what I mean. Just a note about anxiety, by the way. I absolutely understand and respect that anxiety is a complex thing. And in talking about it, there is no intention to minimize what you are going through if you are suffering from it at the moment. My heart is to lift stigma and guilt around anxiety. There are people who suffer from acute anxiety disorder and who need to have professional help. But I'm sharing my experience of more general anxiety that people feel in day-to-day life, brought on by specific circumstances. And I just wanted to acknowledge that. 18 months on from my conversation with Josh, something else happened that had the potential to send me into a spiral of equal anxiety. However, as I reflected back on it, this time I realized that my response had been significantly different. And this situation exposed in me a greater ability not to worry, more Christ-likeness, in fact. And Josh would definitely confirm that I am less anxious now. 3 years before, I could not do not worry. The truth was that 3 years ago, I couldn't do it yet. Many of you know I'm a creative person and I love making art. I want to be a really good artist. If as a little girl or even as a 40-something year old, someone had said to me, draw like Leonardo da Vinci or paint with the skill of Michelangelo or even make a piece worthy of an exhibition. Go on, just, you know, try really hard and I'll pray for you. I wouldn't have been able to do it, no matter how hard I tried or how much people had prayed. However, at 40-something, I began going to an art class for 2 hours a week after decades of doing no art for myself. For 10 years or more, together with a group, I turned up every week, sometimes joyfully, sometimes wondering what on earth I was doing there. And under the teaching of a skilled and more experienced artist, practiced and practiced the different things she was teaching, making loads of messes, some things that were okay, for a long time with no sense that I was really improving. I have books and books of things like this, experiments, practicing. Then I remember the first time after literally years of doing that, and it was years of doing that, when things began to come together and I found myself on a different level. I had made some pieces, put them into an exhibition and lo and behold, sold some of them. Not that selling is the be all and end all, but it was a real sign of improvement that I had improved. There were three elements, key elements to this experience. The teaching, the practicing over a long period of time, and the community I was part of, which encouraged and supported me. By putting the teaching into practice little by little over a period of the time, I moved from I can't yet to I can now, with the freeing understanding that there will still be things I can't yet do, but will be able to do in time if I keep patient, attentive to the teaching and keep practicing with the encouragement and support of my artist community. This is such a parallel to our journey of becoming more like Jesus and to my intentional efforts to get from anxiety to experience the beginnings of freedom from it. The key elements are the same: teaching, practice over time, community, which in this case is the church family, and with the additional ingredient of the Holy Spirit, very much present and at work and pervading all of these things. We read in Ephesians 4, surely you were taught in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. That's the starting point, the truth, the knowledge of his teaching. But that alone didn't bring me into intentional change. Any more than just going to art galleries and reading books about artists would have made me a better artist. I couldn't think myself into being a non-anxious person. I had to stop this trying thing and do something else. Jesus puts an interesting verse in between some do nots in Luke 6, verses 39 to 40. He says, can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student or an apprentice is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be able to run a marathon. Well, that's the picture. Try running a marathon without training, and the outcome is not pleasant. Everyone who is fully trained, i.e. has practiced a lot, will, over time, because practice takes time, become like his teacher and be able not to worry, not to judge, or be able to forgive. Peter asked Jesus how many times he should forgive. 7 times? Clearly, Jesus assumed he wasn't going to be able to do that. I think Jesus's answer of 70 times 7 was his way of saying, get training, mate. This is a hard one. So do not worry about anything. Well, I might be able to get to a place of anxiety, of less anxiety, but not worrying about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, Philippians 4:6 says. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That was my teaching for moving forward, supported by listening to some talks and reading a bit, sharing my challenges with my small group. Do not worry. Okay, that's the old life we read about in Ephesians. We put that off. We don't worry now. Instead, in everything, by petition and prayer, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Okay, new life. That's what I've got to practice. Why? So that experience change can come. The exchange of anxiety for the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which will guard my heart and my racing hand and my racing mind. That was the teaching, part of it that applied to my particular need for change in that area. When I went to my first art class, I didn't expect to come home that afternoon and be able to draw like Leonardo. It took ages to see some change, but I did over time, and that has continued. Why do we think after a couple of weeks we're going to be able to be great at doing what Jesus said? We get frustrated. Am I ever going to see any change? This is so hard. We get disillusioned. We feel like we should be able to do it straight away. I think often we're doing that trying thing rather than a training thing. I'm encouraging you to take heart, to choose training and practicing over trying every time. Both are hard, but one is impossible. And this is the invitation of Jesus to us, to practice his way. As John Mark Comer says, most of us don't approach our apprenticeship to Jesus like this. We either think that it's all about knowing the Bible, or we just need to let go and let God, and he'll do it, and we don't have to. But both of those are misunderstandings. It's a joint partnership between us and God. We do our bit, and he does his. And I absolutely can assure you that his bit is bigger than ours and miraculously unexplainable sometimes. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. If we can get our heads around the concept of training and that change is experienced over time when we do the practicing, I think we'll develop more patience with ourselves and with our small group and our brothers and sisters in the wider family, church family. When we experience what it's like to be in the process of change and recognise that they are too, and we won't be perfect yet, just as we ourselves aren't, more patience will come. When I first began to be more intentional about doing some of the practices of Jesus, including things like switching off your phone and enjoying life, life-giving things, time with friends, excuse me, rest and Sabbath, it was particularly silence and solitude that was really hard, and it still is. The only way I could interrupt my mind and really press into waiting and just being in the presence of God was actually to lay on the floor. For purely practical reasons, there's nothing spiritual in it, but that became a go-to in the peaks of my anxiety. Being there, welcoming his presence, saying to God, I'm here, expressing gratitude, surrendering the outcomes to him. Into your hands was a mantra for me, focusing on a verse like my soul waits only for you from the Psalms. And when I felt anxiety rising, I would just recite the do not worry verse and tell myself I am choosing not to worry, and then practice the new life. Pray and be thankful and ask. I found that interrupting the lies that the anxiety was telling me with some scripture, some truth to anchor me as soon as they kicked off in my mind was really helpful. And I just did that loads. Practicing, I now realise. Please don't hear me say that it's dead easy to deal with anxiety. You just think about God. It's not easy, and that's not what I'm saying. I think I'm saying that we need to put ourselves in a place where God can partner with us and change us. That each moment, especially in the eye of the storm, we need to open our whole selves, our mind, our body, our whole person to the presence of the Spirit of God. Let him do the heavy lifting as we take on our responsibility, becoming familiar with Jesus' teachings, doing the training, engaging with the community of the church. I know that having done that over time, in my very human way, I respond very differently now when anxiety shows up and engage with whatever circumstances has caused it in a less anxious way. Note, less anxious. I'm not saying completely anxious-free. It's a bit of an up-and-down journey. To end, whatever change you're intentionally engaging with at the moment, I just want to encourage you to be a happy student of Jesus. This is Dallas Willard on how to ease into the practices of Jesus without feeling guilty. That's the problem with this trying thing. We try it, we mess it up, then we feel guilty because we're not doing it well enough. And it's the same with practicing. We practice for a while, we feel guilty because we're not making progress and we get fed up. But center yourself on our Father. You are his dearly loved child. I am his dearly loved child. He's not my boss. He's not my external scrutinizer. He is my Father. Be experimental and easy, not heroic. Try things, not the sort of trying I've been talking about, but trying out different practices. Find a way that works for you. It feels uncomfortable when we're putting off old habits and putting on new, but don't make yourself miserable with the idea that there's no gain without pain. Expect some resistance. Keep your mind on Jesus and ask him to help you learn when you fail. Find out why you failed and fix it, and then keep on practicing. Ditch the thinking, I'm a miserable wretch, and instead think in terms of, I'm making something new. Well, I'm making something, or rather, I'm making something work. I'm making something work with the extraordinary help of the Holy Spirit. Let's do this together and become more like Jesus. David, do you want to come and join me?
Great. Thank you, Alison. Wasn't she great? Isn't that a superb message?
It's not about me.
We all need that. We all need to hear that. We're not doing very well here on our organizing.
Never mind. Okay.
Let's just wait in his presence for a moment and reflect on that. It's particularly for those of you for whom anxiety is a thing. And as Alison was speaking, you were really identifying with what she was saying. So let's just wait for him. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come now to wherever people are in their places and spaces. And particularly we pray for those amongst us who suffer with different levels of anxiety. Well, we all get anxious from time to time, but for whom Alison's message is particularly apt. And in fact, we want to, for those of us who over the course of these talks on how to change and grow have identified things where we need to change and grow, Lord, we just put those before you. Maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's dealing with anger, maybe it's a disciplined prayer life. Whatever it is, we put those before you, Lord, and we ask you to grant us the gift of being able to hear you, to be able to have this the strength to practice, to gather people around us, to encourage us. And for some of you who think this struggle that you're in, the thing, the anxiety, whatever it is that you're dealing with right now, is who you are. Somebody said to you, you're an anxious person, or you're an angry person, or whatever it is. For those of you who feel stuck there, I want to speak against that lie from the enemy, and I want to speak the truth that you're a child of God, you're an apprentice, and you're making progress, and that he calls you to bigger and better and higher things as you practice, as you listen to his voice, as you become a new person.